You're listening to the Next Round Podcast with James T. Kaiser, the gaming beast and critical failure.
Games is spaceship.
And go. Okay. Here's the Next Round Podcast.
I love that energy of the beginning.
Well, I couldn't, like, prepare, really.
I know. Shit in your pants, dive in and swim.
I know. I gotta be, like, prepared for that shit.
No, but hey! What's the name of the episode this month?
This is what I needed to give up, is the... get up. There we go. I need
this
to
is
get
the
up.
Part of the podcast where we wait quietly while Sean gets the name generator out.
Go fuck yourself. So, the video game name generator, generating the name, one generation. Bounce and Bedtime Reloaded. Oh, Jesus. It sounds like a porn.
It gets better every time. It really does. That name generator is freaking amazing.
That fucking, like, Space Invaders dude. Every time gets it right.
Christ.
So, what's up with you guys? What you been doing?
I'm playing games.
You're typing like a madman right now, so...
Reindeer games. That's what I've been playing.
So Swingle gave me a copy of Madballs in Babo Invasion.
Mm-hmm. And it's Top Keck.
Is that one that I should wait so we can play together? Because I installed it, but I haven't run it yet.
You should play that regardless, because it is definitely a fun game. I played it with other people. I played it with Sean. We did survival mode for multiplayer. Then I did play it with another guy. We did the full campaign. And the campaign is nuts.
Really?
It's crazy. You have unlimited lives, but the only difference is every time you die, you lose points. So the idea for the campaign is that you're trying to get as many points as possible. It's almost like an arcade style, at least for campaign mode.
I gotcha. It's like Marble Madness, only fun.
Yeah, and you get to shoot guns and all that kind of stuff. I really think I'll have a good time, because Sean has some things to say about it. I really liked it.
Store page looks good. Sean, what do you got?
I enjoyed that game. By the way, Marble Madness, I think that's a fun game. Honestly, yeah, it's challenging, but it's fun, I think.
It broke my balls. The level in Marble Madness that's like where the headline is silly, everything you know is wrong, and your ball has to roll upwards. Are you familiar with that level? I think it's the fifth or sixth one or something.
It gets really hard. It's a fucking Nintendo game, you know? Like, seriously, like, if you played enough Nintendo games, you know what to expect, seriously.
I was able to get really far in the MS-DOS port, because my dad had the 5 1/4-inch floppy version. In the album cover that Electronic Arts used to sell. I played that a lot. I was able to get much further in that than I was in the Nintendo version. I don't know why that is, but I liked it a lot as a kid, and I just eventually just threw my hands up. Which is weird, because that's a game I have many, many times over. Like, I have the Nintendo version. I've got it for the Game Gear. I don't even own a Game Gear, but I have that game. and a Game Boy, and at least one other place.
I don't know. I didn't have it as a kid. I remember when we had the NES. That was a game I was heard about, but like I didn't have it. But I just liked the idea of it, I think, more than anything else. But I think honestly, it's a fun game. It's just it's literally ball crushing. You know?
It's a lot more fun when you play it with two people, because then you're racing. So it doesn't matter that you can't get to the end of the game. You're kind of competing through the. Through the stages that are easily winnable, so there is fun to be had. But wow, that's an oldie that's kind of an odd game for us to spin off a topic on.
Honestly, like fuck it, balls, like yeah. Seriously, like I didn't have Marble Madness, but I remember we had Snake Rattle and Roll.
Yes, I remember Snake Rattle and Roll.
And we used to play that with my brother, and that game is fucking hard. Okay. Like, even just getting past the first level, figuring out what the fuck you're supposed to do. Like, that game is like a fucking surrealist painting come to life. You know, that's like, gaming was like, they didn't give a fuck, because they were like, oh yeah, you're basically a snake eating balls, growing larger. It's like, I don't know, the fucking, like, I'm not even going into the fucking Freudian levels of psychology in there, but the point is that I think to me it was an NES game often wasn't about necessarily getting to the end, even though I did tell you this just recently, where I used to I think you read that letter last time when I said I used to watch my brother play NES games. Like, I used to play them too, but he was like older than me, like 4.5 years.
Yeah, and we have that in common. I remember reading this.
And I would watch him play games, and he would be really good at games in general, and even NES games. But there was a lot of NES games that even where he like kind of gave up because they were just either too like cryptic or something. I remember watching him play through the Mega Man games and like Battle of Olympus, and that one he played through, and that was a tough game. I mean, it's very similar to Zelda 2. Mm-hmm. But I think that one is actually, because I like Zelda 2, but A Battle of Olympus is more manageable, I think. It's still very tough, but... And later on, I actually got Fexan. But anyway, the point is that I used to watch him play the games, and it was fun either way.
I don't think I ever played Battle of Olympus. I played Zelda 2 and never got hooked, but I don't think I ever tried Battle of Olympus.
Battle of Olympus is basically the same kind of side-scrolling action-adventure like Zelda. That was kind of a genre that was popular for a short time. You had, like... I would even consider the second Castlevania one like that, and Faxanadu. Faxanadu, I almost played through legitimately on an actual, like, it was a Family Clone that I had in college. But I would only have to, like, add only one level to finish, and I will finish it one day, because Faxanadu, the difference between, like, Zelda 2 and, like, Battle of Olympus is that, for example, you can actually grind for money. You can buy potions, so it's definitely more... I'm not saying it's easier, it just seems to be a little bit more... Not as, like, ball-crushingly, where you have to know exactly what to do and how to do it, you know?
I found Faxanadu better in a lot of ways. I mean, I thought it was... I thought it looked better, and I thought it was... I'm trying to avoid the word glitchy, but I found it to be much more playable than Zelda 2. But I know I'm not... I know there are people who will disagree with me.
I think the only reason they will disagree with you because they have a hard-on for anything like first-party Nintendo. It's like, oh, my God, it's a Zelda game. That's why it's automatically better. And I'm
like,
go fuck yourself.
There were things to like about Zelda 2. It's not a completely unlikable game. It's just... Faxanadu, I think, is a bit more my flavor.
Faxanadu was more straight-up. You didn't have, like... I mean, I did enjoy Zelda 2 a lot. I didn't have Faxanadu as a kid, but I did remember seeing it in the stores. Mm. And it was always fascinating to me that first, like, when you started up, it had great music, this great logo, and you started up the level, and it had this amazing, first screen. Back at the time, that looked amazing with the big tree world.
Yeah.
It was a gigantic world tree where cities were on that tree and shit. And it just looked really amazing graphically. And then it looked also, like, in general, like a good game. So I thought, and it just plays a little bit more, like... It's just a little bit more straight up. You still have to do backtracking and stuff, but it's not as, like... Because with Zelda 2, it's like you got a lot of more... I know, like, Jerry told me, like, all right, it's fucking easy. You just have to follow the fucking... Like, there's only three parts you got to know from the walkthrough. And other than that, it's like, you know... And I respect Jerry for that, that he played it through, apparently, legit, without, like, save stating and shit. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to jump topics. Are you ready, dude?
Jumping, I'm ready.
Okay.
Jumping GOG into the topic pool.
GOG sales. Did you guys buy anything?
Oh, nope. Totally. I didn't want to. I wanted to be all saving and shit, all like full on Ferengi.
Yeah, dude. You're not saving anything.
I'm like, GOG was like, fuck you. Like, especially I love GOG. I've been like on GOG before I've been on Steam, and I love the shit out of it.
Give me that shut up, boy.
I got, like, multiple games. I got, what did I get? I'm trying to remember it.
I'm about to buy some shit right now.
I think I got some of the Bullfrog games
no!
I didn't have.
Wait!
Okay. Yeah, because if you don't buy... By the way, there's a game I need to get. I got enough that I got all the three games unlocked, even Banished.
Yep.
Where you got $30. So I spent at least $30, yeah. I got Techno Babylon. that is like another adventure game that I think it's in general a bit overpriced, but it looks pretty good. It's from the same guys that released Wedgeye Games, you know. Blackwell Games.
And on the subject of Blackwell, just as a small caveat here, Blackwell Epiphany is $2.99 now. So
I got all the games for Blackwell. I played them through. So.
I do too, but the first four have been put together cheaply in a bundle, whereas the fifth one stood expensive as a new release for a while.
Right.
So I think it's worth noting that it has dropped down to.
Yeah,
A dirt cheap price. Anyway, please continue. Wedgeye Games, right?
Yeah, I got Techno Babylon. I got The Labyrinth of Time, which is another obscure adventure game that followed the wave of Myst-type adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that on... This is one of the many games I read about in a video game magazine way back, and I never could get it. And often, it was the games that were more obscure... Only had like a mention or a small review. That wasn't even reviewed that well, but I was still interested, so I got it.
Yeah.
There was the Larry games were down, but I had all the Larry games except the latest remake of Larry 1, Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded, and the sequel, the Leisure Suit Larry Magna Cum Laude. And for me, that one I didn't want it to have, honestly, because I don't even consider that. Canon
wasn't made by the guys, and you don't play as the characters. It's just
you play like fucking like his nephew or some shit like that, and it's not even true point and click adventure game. It was like, oh, it's 3D now. Like literally, one of the head developer guys wrote in the reviews, and he said, "It's flawed. It's a flawed game with much potential wasted." Where he said literally, he was told that adventure games are dead. Just make a game we're targeting so we can have as much 3D boobs and mini games as possible.
That's really sad.
And he said, actually, literally, where he tried to... his main goal was to get a good story. That's what he was pushing for. And for me, that was like, nah, fuck that. For me, if it's not a point-and-click adventure game, I'm like, no. No, if it's not involved... Because literally, that was when... He even said that was when the Sierra license was sold to Activision.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now they basically Activision like is using the Sierra brand name again. They released a new version of King's Quest. I don't know if I don't think the new Larry, the Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded, is under Sierra. I think maybe Allo. I know he's involved with that. So, and maybe he got the license back. He bought it from Activision or something. I don't know.
By the
exactly.
way, your breathing's picking up pretty hard.
Which one of us? Me?
CF. Yeah.
Anyway,
oh,
so yeah. I got Chronicles.
Is that better?
We'll find out.
I got Chronicles of Riddick Assault on Dark Athena, I think, or whatever, Dark something, Ghibli Athena, right?
A name that I threw money at, yeah.
Gotcha.
I got that one unlocked. I got Banished, also unlocked.
Vin Diesel, the video game.
Vin Diesel, the video
it
game.
It actually
yep.
is really cool because it was a port game
good.
from the handheld, so they made it over to PC. It's a stealth. I forgot what kind of, but it's a stealth game.
Did you
it's
get really Primordia, cool. dude?
No, I was thinking about it, but I'm like I'm done spending because I spend way too much. I wanted to get Primordia because it looked great, but I got Celtic Kings: Rage of War. The new Bard's Tale, and the only reason I got that is because I'm kind of interested in that, but more is that you get the trilogy of Bard's Tale.
Yeah, I have that on Steam. That's actually a pretty good game, the new Bard's Tale. The old Bard's Tale games that come with it are actually the, I believe, the Commodore ports of the games. So they're very playable, but they're going to be extremely different from the Abandonware versions you might be familiar with.
Yeah, I might go with the. I want to get the DOS version, honestly.
That's some premium Abandonware, though, that you get the Commodore 64 one instead of a DOSBox one.
Well, honestly, if you got the right emulator, that's not a problem either. Like, it's all about having the right. Like, Commodore 64 emulation is not as, like, tricky as Amiga emulation, you know? So.
I've got sweet Commodore 64 emulation on my phone.
Nice.
And, like, legit, it works really good.
What do you play on that?
Mostly Jumpman. I've played a few things just to try, like just to fuck around and see if it works.
Try Giana Sisters or Giana Sisters.
Giana.
it's fucking Vagina Mario, Sisters, basically. Yeah. Yeah, it's the Vagina Sisters. Yep.
I downloaded a lot of the game creation kits that are available for Commodore 64. Because those just fascinate me to no end. But when I sit down and play it, I'm usually playing Jumpman.
Yeah. I don't even know about Jumpman, honestly. Like, I heard of it, but it's like, for me, like, it's
bro.
It's...
Bro.
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 Bro. Bro. Do you even live, bro?
Jumpman's good, man. It's a little side-scroller. It's really old and very limited in scope, but charming nonetheless.
You should try out Giana Sisters because it plays. It basically was 1-to-1 Mario, but it still plays differently.
Yeah,
because literally they wanted to make Mario and they didn't get the license, so they said, okay, "We'll put women in there, and the Goombas are going to be owls or some shit like that." I don't know.
Yeah, they ported that to the Ouya, and I played the shit out of the Ouya port, and I liked it a lot.
The legend is that Rainbow Arts, the guys that did Giana Sisters, or Giana Sisters, however the fuck you want to call it, they made a Mario port, like a basic beta, and they sent it to Nintendo.
And then they get the sponsorship for
Well, Nintendo said, yeah, we are like only first parties going to come to Nintendo.
I'm sure that was exactly what the letter said.
Meh. Like, because it's
dear
like
developers of the Giana Sisters. Meh. What the fuck is this? Can you read this letter from Nintendo? This is supposed to be a response to a proposal. It's just a bunch of A's and like smiley faces and squiggles. They're supposed to be like a gigantic corporation.
Well, they're Japanese, well, so.
It's because, yeah, you have to run it through the translator. That's the reason why.
Well, Rainbow Arts, they're German, so, you know, they're very precise. Was ist das für ein Scheiß hier? Echt hier, that's what they were saying.
Speaking of sales, I got quite a few things last week.
Oh, boy, here we go. What do you got?
Well, because I go to the thrift stores, I've been doing some hardcore thrifting. The last 2 weeks, and I've done about 8 to 10 hours a day for 4 days each week, going to different stores around the countryside, around the state,
around the countryside.
I know, right? And one thing that I got that was pretty baller was that I got extractors for the MS-DOS, sealed in box, worth nothing, but sealed in box. And it's a really cool game because it's supposed to be in the style of Lemmings, where it's a puzzle strategy game.
That is cool, dude.
And it has FMVs for each mission before you start them.
Nice,
man.
You play as the assholes, by the way.
Because, it's Diggers too. Okay.
Yeah, Diggers too. You play as the bad guys who are trying to take over the colonies up in the skies because they have like precious minerals that you want to extract. So you play as the evil guys in this game.
Nice, I'm digging it. So it has FMVs. So we're talking CD-based game.
Yeah, it's DOS. It uses like 3.0 MS-DOS.
Okay. So,
It's not in the fancy graphics realm. It's probably like 320 by 240 for the video size.
I see.
But it has that. It has that. And I'm pretty pleased about it.
That's cool.
FMV games are the greatest.
And then I got myself Heavy Gear, the first one. And It is tough as balls. Because I went through the first mission, and they have the similar accuracy as you, but there's a slight delay when they actually shoot. When they shoot, though, you're dead, pretty much. So you have to be as fast as possible with the reaction time.
Yeah, that was my problem with it. I spent like 30 or 45 minutes figuring out how to control the mech. And I started this mission where I walk forward for a little while, and then the second I saw something dead before I knew what happened.
Well, yeah, because they launched a grenade launcher at me, like just blew out my leg. And then I was really impressed by it because, like, you know, I lost. But I said, press S to stand up. Because you can get knocked on the ground for weapons, but because my legs were gone, I couldn't do anything. And I was just like, man, that is so cool. Like, did they have a game, you know, from that time period reflect that? Because like even the MechWarrior series, if your legs blew out, you blew up. Like, you know, it was game over. Like, it didn't have that level of simulation. attached to it. So I really enjoyed that. Plus, that one, too, has the FMVs, and they're very cheesy.
They were all cheesy, like, pretty much. Like, I will say this also, just quick, because of mech games. This is one I didn't own. I only played a demo. There's so many games I only played a demo, and that game was Genome. And I wanted to always have that game because it was a mech game. It was really tough. But when your mech got blown up, you had the option to literally eject out of your mech, and then the game, you would be, as a human, in you would be just, it would become a first-person shooter, pretty much.
Yeah.
Of course, you had like a laser rifle, but you had almost no chance against the fucking mechs. Like, you had to basically run away or some shit, like, but I loved how they gave you the option to just get out of the mech, you know?
I'll have two more games I'll talk about, and then I'll shut up about what I've got. So during the GOG sale, I got Die Hard Nakatomi Plaza, and it came out in 2002, way after the craze of like the arcade games for the Die Hard series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a genuine first person shooter for the Die Hard games.
Oh, and nice.
The best part here is that it has sneaking levels and, you know, the shadows and whatnot, and you actually have to use your lighter instead of, like, a flashlight to try and peek around places.
So that sounds pretty sweet.
It's totally immersive, and you know how much I love my immersion. So
yeah.
I was really pleased by it. They say, like, the only issues with this game, because you can play it on modern systems, but you pretty much need to use an XP machine because the graphics card adapters, like the drivers for all the modern ones, they don't know how to work with this game properly, because all the eyeballs, the skin, just pulls and tears to the center of the map. It's that much of like a graphical error. So everything just looks wonky. But if you play on XP, you'll have no issues. And then finally, fucking Bakugan Battle Brawlers. And the only reason why I mentioned this, I got this for the Wii. It was like $2. I was surprised by it. It plays like the actual show. And that to me was amazing. Because I've been burned so many times by, like, you know, getting the Metabots video game, the freaking the Yu-Gi-Oh! Video game, the Digimon ones. None of them play anything like the show. But you play the actual game with the Bakugan video game. You know, the actual, like, where you roll the ball and you draw the cards and all that stuff. And it's 1-to-1. And I was just like, that is so amazing to have an actual, honest representation of a cartoon series.
Well, Pokemon does that. I mean, it's 1-to-1, like, the game. I mean, okay,
they
the game
came
was
at the game first, yeah.
Okay, but you're, like, nitpicking here at this point, you know.
Wait a second. What Yu-Gi-Oh! Game did you play that was nothing like the show?
As in, like, the trap cards from the TV show, several of them do not work at all, like in the card game.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I never got into Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't know. Like, I watched, like, 3 episodes. I liked a Hinge better than Pokemon.
Yeah.
I don't know, because the monsters look cooler, but the guy had, like, fucking even more ridiculous hair than any anime character I've ever seen, which is saying much.
Well, I never got into the Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't think I've even watched a single episode of the Yu-Gi-Oh! TV show, but somewhere along the line I gave the card game, at least in the video games, the video game adaptation of the card games, a try, and I ended up enjoying them.
The video game might be good. I'm not against trying that. It's just like, at least the cartoon, that's the only thing I had. I wasn't willing to shell out money for the card game because it's like, oh, you have the starter pack, and you go,
I actually have a stack of almost 100 Yu-Gi-Oh cards that I got from the thrift store for $1.99 because they go for like, I don't know, $6 for that much on the web or net. So I thought, hey, I will distribute these to some other young Yu-Gi-Oh player.
Ooh. Yep.
To advance his dueling career.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, so those are all the highlights. I didn't want to do a Kaiser report, but those are the special gems.
That's cool. Those are like ones you picked up like from thrift stores and stuff, so I find that a little bit more interesting than the GOG sales.
Well, then I'll bore you with my GOG sales, though.
So, oh, sure. Here we go.
Well,
coffee in hand.
Round 2!
I'm gonna burn it down really quick. I got the Patrician 1 and 2.
Nice.
I got Pure Solar. Take it or leave it for with whatever.
Double nice.
I got the PC RPG from Blue Byte Albion, which I played through way back, and I enjoyed it a lot, and I want to play it through again. Possibly review it. We'll see. That one will take again a while. Mm-hmm. I got Star Control 1 and 2. I also got, out of the sales, I got the System Shock 2 again, but I have that on Steam, but it's good to have a downloadable version.
Does the one on GOG work any better? Because I have it on Steam, and it doesn't really work well for me.
It works perfectly on Steam for me. I don't know.
Like, yeah, maybe it's my old PC.
I played with it yesterday, so, and it's a tough game, so I got to a certain point, and then I have my problems with it. I won't get into it.
Mm-hmm.
I also got Shadow Watch and Din's Curse. Shadow Watch is like a turn-based tactical game like XCOM.
And okay.
My friend who's been into XCOM and into Jagged Alliance always said this is a good one. And Din's Curse is an interesting... It's an action RPG like Diablo, but it's got some things in a description where you have got to, like... You have, like, a town you got to defend, and there's, like... It generates it randomly, and there's random events that can happen, and... It looks interesting. And I got other games, but I didn't get them into sale, so I won't list them off, so... Yeah,
I got
that's
you.
Pretty much it.
That's cool. I haven't bought anything from the GOG sales yet, but right now I'm looking at picking up one of the peripheral Elder Scrolls games, primarily because I want to have Elder Scrolls Daggerfall and Arena connected to my GOG account so I can play them through the GOG client and keep track of my time.
Nice.
So they offer I'm looking at the Red Guard and what's the other one? Battle Spire, and those are $2.99 a piece. And I'm weighing them back and forth, figuring out which one's the one I want to buy to get the two games that come with it.
Get Battle Spire. I got Battle Spire because honestly, for me, Battle Spire is more of a Elder Scrolls game. Red Guard looks cool, but it's more like it's a pure action game where it's set in the Elder Scrolls setting, but you play it more like a Lara Croft game. And to me, Battlespire started off as an expansion to Daggerfall, but it became its own game. It plays very much like Elder Scrolls, like the old school Elder Scrolls. It's got a little bit better graphics and sound and everything than Daggerfall.
Okay, we got a winner.
The difference with Battlespire is that it's one big dungeon, so you don't go to cities and stuff. This is what I heard of it, and I played it a little bit. And from the Banware scene, I found it. I installed it. And honestly, it's not bad. And Battlespire was the big thing because that was the first Elder Scrolls game that had multiplayer. But good luck trying to get that to work today, so.
Speaking of multiplayer for old games, I am dusting off the Dead Multi Society, bitches.
Nice.
Yeah, you know why?
Like,
you know why? Because I want to play fucking Guncraft.
Yeah.
And there's no other way to play it.
Let's do this.
So, yeah. Gonna do some DMS events.
Good, because I also have some games I wanted to put up there. I tried doing it before, but it's like, didn't really get any takers on the offers. Because I want to do some Mad Balls, because that one would be, again, freaking chaos if we had like 4 to 5 people playing like in the same server for like Arena. It's good times.
Yeah, the way to handle Dead Multi Society is basically just use it as a way for us to play games with each other, because it got a lot of people to join, but that's not going to keep it running. Like if we just make an event for an obscure game. You know, like, say, I don't know, one of those racing games, the top-down racing game that came out a while ago. Yeah, that'd be a cool game to play multi, but just randomly up there, nobody's going to jump in and nobody's going to step into the mumble as a stranger and, and like, play with us, at least not at this point. So the best thing to do is to, like, just use it to host games that we, each other, play, and then hopefully people will trickle in along the way.
Yeah,
I think that's the way to go.
Okay. Yeah, because I've been organizing my collection of Steam games to make it to where it's like, okay, these are the ones where I know the multiplayer works. And so I've been sanctioning that off over there.
Yeah, because just that's another. Yeah, that's definitely something you got to say with Steam games. When they say there's multiplayer, that means that there might have been at once multiplayer or there is multiplayer, but if it works or not, that's an entirely different question.
Yeah, that it's saying something has multiplayer is a very broad statement, because that could be like local multiplayer only, or that could be like this used to have a server-based multiplayer, but the servers were shut down 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ, Majesty, man, getting that to work. But we did get it to work, though.
We got to play it. It's one of the recommended games from the Dead Multi Society. You can still play that, but it just these days it's by appointment only. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I know you don't want to play it against me. So.
Not really.
I want to get Lucifer's lawyer to play with me to fucking. If you're listening to this, I'm just a shout out. Get your ass. Let's get to play some fucking Majesty Gold. Seriously.
He wants your ass.
Yes. Yeah. I want it.
You see how I took like your honest, nice statement and made it gay?
I was expecting that. I was demanding it. Anyway, so speaking of egging each other on, I don't know if you guys have been following, but there has been on the Virtual Warriors has been the next tournament where we've been beating each other up.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next,
website would you visit to watch these nice entertaining videos?
It's great that you ask, because it's thenextround.net, www.thenextround.net. You can check it out there, and you can that's where you can watch all the episodes. And I gotta make a separate topic for that, because that's important, because I want to do that as a yearly thing.
There was a classic matchup between me and Beth Eder, and I was thinking about it before the fight happened. I was just like, I can't really hurt this guy. You know, I love him too much. He's like a bro to me. But I figured out a way to knock him out at least.
I will say this. Kaiser made all the characters, and as much as he says they were balanced, there's definitely where I feel is imbalanced, but I took them as they are. So for this tournament. So that was bracket B, because we got like literally like brackets and shit, because I found a program where you can make a tournament. So we had Retro Kaiser versus Tomcat X, and Retro Kaiser won that.
That's cool.
And Swingle won the second one against Death Adder. That's bracket B. And the next one is going to be me, Gaming Beast, versus Michael Smith. And then the D one is going to be UCF versus Lucifer's Lawyer. So
Hey.
So
nice.
What do you guys, how do you guys think it's going to go down, those fights?
Well, I'm going to lose, because I lose at everything in life.
I would say that's not true, even though you have that name. quite often when we played games,
I'm going to roll a one.
No, you actually won often. It's like the Bomberman game. You won that one. Like, no questions.
Bomberman. When did we play Bomberman?
It was one of the earliest Let's Plays, like fucking forever ago.
We played that on Fusion, didn't we? It was something
on
like
Fusion. Yep.
Yeah, man, that was a long time ago.
I know.
We should do that again. Right now. Podcast over. Time for Bomberman.
Anyway, so that's going to continue. And I want to do this like a yearly thing or something, because like...
That sounds cool.
I want to do it with Freedom Force, where I make each other... like I that's where I want to try out skinning. I want to put our faces and make custom skins for us. And Freedom Force is going to be like the next level, where we're like superheroes and shit. So
I looked at one point a couple weeks ago. I was picking up old like big box games for PC, just ordering them from the internet. And I looked at Freedom Force, and the boxes for the Freedom Force games are actually pretty dope, man. Like, as big of a fan of Freedom Force as you are, those might be worth checking out.
I thought about getting it right now. This month, definitely, I can't get those, but I thought about it, because I always liked the design in general of the game.
He's also knee-deep in games, you know? He's got to spend that time playing them.
By the way, something I gotta mention, and I'm kind of at a deficit here, is the games that we're supposed to play and review, and Kaiser's not here. I love the choice, the game that Kaiser would have to review. It's Lifeless Planet, which is,
I'm glad you brought that up, because I played mine. Am I the only one?
Iron Roses?
No, yes. I played my games too. Both of them. Suck on it.
You want to go first?
Sure, why not? Alright, so the first game I'm supposed to be playing recently, because I'm going to go do my backlog. I have a backlog to talk about for Simulet. I like it. It was Namriel Legends Iron Lord, which is a steampunk-themed hidden object game. Now, I actually played about close to an hour and a half, and I like it so far. I actually might even consider beating it because I am that much of a casual. The puzzles are not super difficult. I did have to rummage around, going from room to room, trying to find all the pieces. There does not seem to be any insta-die puzzles.
Gotcha.
So it's definitely meant for the elderly women, you know, things like that. It's a modern hidden object game. The thing that I liked the most was that the artwork was actually pretty well done. The robots looked pretty ridiculous, where they reminded me of like the Starship Galactica, like robots from the 80s.
Nice.
Or 70s. The much old, they remind like that kind of level of retarded.
And, I love it.
Yeah. Overall. Another thing I really liked is that they actually gave you a little, not a hint system, but they just told you, like an update of what you're trying to do next, in case you leave and you forget what you were doing. So I enjoyed that too.
Have you also tried Covert Action? Because that's what I have in my notes.
I was waiting for you to finish your thoughts about what I've said so far, and then I was going to talk about Covert Action.
Sorry.
That sounds pretty dope. I appreciate the review because I don't think I would ever say, hey, let's play a hidden object game.
Those games. That is like the worst part of a point-and-click adventure made into an entire game.
I must say, the whole concept sounds more like an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than... I think this would be a good idea, something we could make that would work.
There's so many hidden objects, especially like for iPad or iPhone, where because all it's a game that is made for that platform, because you just got to click on the item to find it. You can even play it together.
Mm. Yeah.
But anyway, so
the special bonus was that, because this was the special Iron Lord Imperial Edition, and this wouldn't be a podcast if the dogs weren't screaming their ass off, was that there was a special, there was a soundtrack included with the MP3 files, there was additional wallpapers and artwork, and they actually looked pretty cool, because some of them are, like, profile shots of, the Iron Lord himself, which reminds me of Destro from G.I. Joe's. Like, it's that level of detail for, like, you know, the Iron Mask, but just the entire suit is like that.
There you go.
Nice.
So, it's a baller. I got in a bundle. I would not pay more than that bundle price for it, but I enjoyed it so far.
Well, I'll have the last word of this, but that was literally the game I was supposed to review called Last Word, and sadly, I haven't done so. But I will do it for the next time.
That's some scandalous shit right there.
I will pull out another game, so... Or, I don't even know. Like, how we do it. Like, how we did it last time.
What I did was that I went to all library for all the games to view. Then I rapidly scrolled up and down, closing my eyes, and then I stopped, and wherever the pointer landed, that was the game I had to play.
Right. Because they don't actually have a good Steam anymore.
Yes.
So, since Kaiser isn't here, I wouldn't, He needs to still finish his last review, which he
probably... No, give him another game. Give him another game.
No, he's got to do Lifeless Planet because...
Well, yeah, I know, but he has to do another game. He needs to do almost all of his games because he's never actually reviewed any of them.
Yeah, and that's saying for like somebody who calls himself the review king. So,
Those are fighting words.
Guys. Yeah.
Hashtag shots fired.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we have the next tournament. So, Kaiser, maybe we can settle
backslash
differences there.
Insult.
We'll see how the tournament is gonna continue on. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Last Word is one of those games I gotta review. So I'm gonna try to. I'm gonna like look through my games now, and I'm just gonna like, okay, and
do the best that you can.
Is gonna be Stronghold. It says Stronghold 2. Is it okay if I go with Stronghold 1? I did say that I wouldn't like one of the.
There's no story difference. Don't even try. Don't even try to tell me this. There's no story whatsoever between one and two.
It's not even story difference. It's not even story difference. I'm.
Yeah. What's the excuse? Come on now.
Okay, I'm fine. I'll do Stronghold
2. There really is no story.
I'll just play.
There's no story. That's why.
It's. Okay. So then, what is the difference if I do Stronghold 1? Seriously.
Because you randomized Stronghold 2.
Well, I just pointed out my screen. I'll do Stronghold 2. Jesus Christ.
You're fucked.
Because, I completely agree with you, Sean. If there was a story connection between the two, I would be totally on board with saying. Because you're like, you know what? It makes sense. But there is no story continuation between the two.
When I did mention this whole thing, is like I did say that if you go to a game, okay, fine. Let's just continue. Then you choose one and see if you choose one. Then.
I never talked about my game from last week.
Yeah, sorry, you were just so busy saying you didn't play anything, so you wanted to try and make up for it.
You bastards. My game was Iron Roses, which is a point-and-click adventure about some lady. Well, right off the bat, I'd like to take the time to express my gratitude for making a game for babies. I think it was a very interesting idea to make a weird rock and roll game for babies, but it didn't appeal to me too much. Primarily because there was a disconnect between the main character and the actress who does the voice of the main character. It's supposed to be like a college age like girl who's like in a band and like doing stuff like that, and the person who does the voice I would picture more as like somebody waiting tables in their 50s and is like really sad because they like having a real hard time getting life together. You know? So the big disconnect. Definitely, I call it at least 30 years difference between the person who's doing the voice and the character they're supposed to be playing. So there's that. Actually playing the game, I would equate it to... Oh, man, what is that game? Fahrenheit, but it had another name in the States. Indigo Prophecy. You guys know that game?
I heard of it. I think you even talked about it.
I read the strategy guide. That's how much I know about it.
Basically, like, so this actually is a point-and-click adventure game, so I'll give it that. But there are dialogue trees with selectable, like, responses. But every time there's a selectable response, there's only one option. So it's basically just like... further the discussion. Okay, we'll further the discussion. And you can press a button that literally lights up all the things in the room you're supposed to pick up and tells you exactly what to do.
Doesn't it have, like, when you do the music, it's like a really shitty version of Guitar Hero? Because
I honestly didn't make it that far, because you start out in your apartment and, like, when it was like, go pick up the keys from the drawer, I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I spent like 10 or 15 minutes talking to the main character's roommate about something.
So, like... is this game more casual than most casual hidden object games?
Oh man, that's a tough question. Because
that sounds like a walk. That sounds like a walking tutorial. What you experienced?
What? Here's the thing about the hidden object games, though. That hidden object games are designed to be casual. You play them in a casual setting. Whereas this was like, what the fuck am I seeing? Where's the game part? Like almost like they had designed to do more with it and just fuck it. This is good enough.
The graphics also weren't really that great even for the time. Like, Kaiser gave me that as a joke game, and that's like one of the only games I installed from my what is it again? The
Gamersgate.
Gamergate, yeah. Gamersgate. Oh, you gotta be careful here because Gamersgate. And I actually played that, and I played it to the point where you get to the point where I actually perform, and then
you got that far. You got further than me.
Well, because like I was curious, but like it was a torture. But you get to a point where you got to perform your music, and it becomes like a mini game where it's like a shitty Guitar Hero kind of thing, where you got to do the Simon Says kind of game.
There you go.
And honestly, it was like that's where I was like, "Yep, this game sucks, Kaiser. Fuck yourself." And that was it. So.
Good times. I mean, bad times, but good times now, discussing it, I guess. Shut up. Don't judge me. Yep. I also played Covert Operation.
Is it Covert Action? Was it Covert Action, yes. Like Swingle's game? Because that's what I have written here.
He wanted to do the buddy system, try it, so we can share the noise together.
Yeah, I tried it because I didn't think anybody was going to play their games. Like, I thought we were going to sit down and record, and I was going to be the only one who actually went and played it. I mean, you guys have done this when I haven't been around, but I listen to those episodes, and it's always like, did you play your game? No, I didn't.
Well, the problem
I didn't
is,
play
whatever.
My game. Did you had, no, I didn't.
Please, you got to understand, though, like, every single time we recorded, like, those last 2 to 3 times, they were blind, like, let's record. Like, as in, like, oh, guys, it's like 3 in the morning on a Friday afternoon. We got to record this right now. It's like, what? Let me get my shit. Hold on. And they're like, dive to the computer or some shit like that. So, like, yeah, they weren't planned meetings. You know, that's the
well,
thing,
you
right?
Got to uphold the quality expectation of the next round.net.
You got to uphold the code of the next round.
Got to be.
The dogma. Written down in the big tome of the
setter,
next round. The
ready
next
to
tone.
Bring it. Ready to bring it at any time.
But yes, I have played Sid Meier's Covert Action Classic Edition. It's very
I couldn't figure it out. I played it a little bit, and I was like, this expects me to have a notebook and write down all these clues.
It expects you to read the manual, which is like almost 200 pages, because there's quite a few buttons in the game that they don't describe for shit. And... like, I broke into a house just to see, like, you know, it said, like, oh, go to this place. Hey, you want to sneak into the house? Want to watch the place? Like, I'll break into the house. And I looked into the house, and there was nothing there. And then I was just like, okay, let me try moving around here. And then whenever I tried to move forward, move around the room, because it was a top-down directional kind of like, shooting game where... Okay. Where, like, you know, you aim down, like, you point down, you're aiming down, and then you press the spacebar to fire. I figured that much out. But, like, every time I moved my character, I moved 2 spaces instead of 1. Where it was almost like there was, like, input lag on the responsiveness from the emulator. Because this was done in DOSBox.
This is one of those, I can't remember the name of the company that's doing it, but the Sunken Treasures,
it is the infamous... It's very important to put that part there. The infamous Night Dive Studios.
Night Dive.
Yeah, that says everything about them, Night Dive, because they're like a shit dive. They can go fuck themselves.
They've released good games, but they don't do anything to bring them up to speed or make them work. It's just like, here's DOSBox port.
They literally also make a version of Dragon Sphere, make people pay for it, €6, and it's legally free on GOG. That's the kind of scummy bullshit they do.
I think I might even own that.
Well, that was in a Groupies bundle, Dragon Sphere, for the
it should be. It's a free game. It should be like on a forever bundle.
Well, Sean, I want to like many other people who are bundle hoarder for Steam games. They like to increase their EP-ness by having their library count go higher. And I can't do that for free with a comp edition of Dragon Sphere. I just can't.
Well, you can add it if it would be a free Steam game. You could add it to
But you know, if it was a free Steam game, but it is not. So I got to figure out a way to increase my EP-ness.
Yeah, yeah. Your power level. We get it.
You could buy cards. That's maximum EP-ing.
Yes, I could have like 400 badges or some shit.
Yeah, because like when
you
I
mean look, like Kaiser. Ooh.
When I go to my friends list in my profile, and I don't know why I go to my own profile for anything, but and I look at my friends list, it ranks everyone based on the power level, Steam power level.
Yeah, of the trading cards. Yeah.
Kaiser's like beyond everybody. He's like Super Saiyan 5 or something.
I've been doing some mad trading on Indiegala for getting games because, you know, that's how I got Sean his copy of Mad Balls and along with a few other games for people. And my Steam count is close to 1,800 right now from all my tradings.
Oh, nice.
Of video games. So, you know, I might get to 2,000 before Kaiser does.
You hear that, Kaiser? Challenge accepted? Question mark?
Do you guys remember when I used to top Steam account in our group? Now I'm like...
Yes.
That was good times, man.
You're part of the peasants with Sean. Yeah.
Yep. You're like a higher peasant than me. You're like a higher ranked peasant.
I've only got 1,346 games.
I got
like over 700 only, so I'm like...
Yeah, but you don't even appear on my friends list on my profile.
You see, that's how low I am. I'm a lowly serf.
The two of you guys are two of the most talked to people on the internet for me. And neither one of you appear on my profile. I have six other dudes. Now, admittedly, the top two are Retro Kaiser and then my older brother. So they deserve their spots. But then below them are like four. One of those guys is another friend of mine. But okay, three people are dudes that I never talk to. One of those three people is like someone I really never talked to who just like added me because we were in the same group. And yeah, I think that's a problem.
Yeah, I removed pretty much. There was a time where you know how people do friend purging on Facebook.
Yeah.
I did that for my Steam friends list because, like, honestly, my Steam friends list is more important than my Facebook friends list.
Yeah.
So I removed like 40 people who I stopped gaming or talking with, or who I barely talked with anyway. Like at least 40 people, like off. The people that are now on are people that I talk to or game with on a regular basis, pretty much, more or less. Like,
well,
everybody else just got removed, off, gone.
Hopefully, CF, during the winter sale, when that happens, because
yeah.
When you craft badges during the sales, you get a free card, usually. And so I've been saving all of my badges for that special occasion, and I think I'll be able to pass that guy who's level 52 on the bottom of the rung. I might be able to get on that list. On that exclusive VIP list. Stay tuned for more.
That's assuming that guy doesn't buy any cards.
I know, right?
The only reason Kaiser is...
I got a shit ton of cards, though. Like, I got like 40 badges I'm waiting to make. It's ridiculous.
The thing about the Steam power level, the whole reason for trading cards was to show how many games you play in, like how much time you put in, and like
it
fucking
has nothing to do with video
it has
games.
Nothing to do because fucking like Swingle and Kaiser, they're like the master farmers, and I like when I actually put time into a game, most of the time it's actual game time. Like
hold on, let me rev up the engine here. Starting a Battle Master.
I gotta say,
I look at a lot of really obscure games in my Steam library, and it says Retro Kaiser plays this, and I get really excited, and I'm like, holy shit, I didn't know you were into Dynamite Jack. And then I go over to his profile, and it's like, oh yeah, cards.
Yep, cards.
You know what I mean?
It's cards, yep. That's the thing. For me, it's like I do farm here and there, but it's mostly like Disillusioned Manga Horror was such a horrible, horrible game. But it was so short. It was at least like a pain that was short. I didn't play it through. Yeah. And that, And then I decided, well, I might as well, if I put time in it, I might as well farm it so, to get the cards. So I did farm that. But I literally played the game through in like less than an hour. It was like, what, 20, 30 minutes at most? You know? And but that game, oh my god. Like, so bad. So fucking bad.
Come on, we need to go for 5 more minutes to hit an hour, and then I can go to bed.
Well, we need to do our
it's 55
our
on my record. It's 55 on my thing. Okay, right. New random games.
And I also don't think you actually did you actually even talk about your game, Sif?
Me?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, IRUS. Yeah,
point and click game for babies. I played a little bit. Didn't really like it.
Okay. So yeah, we need to do our randoms. We need to randomize
our
new games.
We talked about covert action. I need to place the last word. I just installed, by the way. It was 92 megabytes, so...
Okay.
Probably play that later. But I got Stronghold 2. And,
1, 2, 3, 4... Okay, stop. Awesome. Journey of the Light. That's what I randomed. And I know that was a piece of shit, too.
I have randomed Multiwenia.
Oh my god.
Which I heard good things about.
Kaiser talked about that on the next round as well.
Okay, well, really? Somebody should choose for Kaiser. Get on his like Ghibli Goop page. And...
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
Swing on.
Entirely too much work.
I got Journey of the Light.
But for Kaiser, are you going to choose for Kaiser?
We don't have the same library, though.
Well, you can go to his profile.
Go to his profile.
I can do it.
Don't worry.
We could actually. No. You know what? We could just.
We're doing this. No. Because I know he'll go.
It's happening.
Yeah. Are you doing it, or do you want me to do it?
I'm doing it. I'm going. I'm loading it up.
Takes forever to load his collection.
But yeah, good. I think the problem is though. The one that we'll select is probably something like, oh, I've been meaning to review that one for a very long time. Because he has done that before in one of the podcasts where he said, like, oh, I randomized this game. Oh, I'm going to be doing a review for that one, so I can't do that. It's like, sure you were.
I have random Secret of the Magic Crystals soundtrack and coloring book.
That's what he's
really,
gonna do.
Did you really read that?
From Kaiser's collection.
Secret from the Magic Kingdom.
Magic Crystals.
See, I think it would be awesome if we randomized like a gigantic file for him to download.
Nah.
Yep.
Anyways.
Come on, random. See what you get.
I randomed Just Cause 2.
Just Cause 2.
So is it going to be Secret of... You know what? Because Kaiser wasn't here and he didn't do it, his punishment is to do Just Cause 2.
Just Cause 2.
Just Cause. Okay. Just Cause.
I didn't think that game was that bad. It didn't work very well for me, but it was okay.
It looked like an interesting game. It's like a sandbox, like GTA, but you got like a weird like cyborg arm and you can like attach yourself to shit.
Yeah.
It's the entire
so
game.
Yeah. That was a recording, guys.
Did Sean pick one?
No, I got Stronghold 2.
Yeah, Stronghold 2?
Yeah.
All right.
So we're at 58. 58 so we might as well go to 60. So.
Yeah, that's very important. Very critical.
Any final thoughts?
Oh, listen to my tribute podcast to the Great Critical Failure.
Oh,
it is hot shit.
There's nothing I love more than putting a bunch of like English words into a text-to-speech thing that's supposed to be reading in Japanese.
No, this one I did Korean because it's like I said, imitation is a sincere form of flattery. That's how I started it. So Korean is heavily influenced by Japanese language. So that's why I did a Korean translator instead.
There you go. I really dug it.
I need to do a TCR tribute episode because of you I started podcasting, so
that's awesome. You know, Kaiser did one too, and the funny thing about when you guys do these, it tends to just be like, I'm going to put 3 songs into my normal show, and other than that, it's going to be exactly like I always do my show.
Now, I went full meta. I did references and everything, so.
I recognize 2 out of the 3 tracks, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. I can't wait to dig into it.
Okay, we're at our last minute. We are down to...
Be interesting for 30 more seconds.
30 seconds. Yep.
I also did a tribute one because I'm going to be doing it for everybody. I did one for Death Adder 83, and it was for a version of Clickety Clack. I did Stompity Stomp for Dance Revolution. It was good shit.
It was good.
10 seconds.
Okay. Check out the next round at thenextround.net.
Dot neat.
And
goodbye.
Ooh, a foil.
And
I get up in the evening, cause my mama's name. Catching my reflection, what a city shade. And then the beer starts flowing, I get a tiny taste. I go into the zone, yeah. I couldn't care if the world took a shit on my face. It's always gonna be the same. You know I never learned to change.